what's happening, man. It's me, Joshua Bryan. I am coming to you for Civilianization Podcast once again. The guest today is Brendan Hoekstra. Brendan Hoekstra is a builder chief in the United States Navy, an awesome guy, good buddy of mine. We were in Okinawa together on my very last deployment with Naval Mobile Construction Battalion 3. He has spent his career bouncing between battalions as an instructor with SEAL teams, with Naval Special Warfare units, and now he's helping out a reserve unit. And it's pretty cool. Check it out. This is not as in-depth or as long as most are, but I want to get this out there to help promote Hoekstra Racing. So if you could, go to your Facebook, whatever the heck, if you're on it, and check out Hoekstra Racing. All right, let's do this. With the race car, and this is my first podcast with a race car present. The star of the movie Cars, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah,
she's smiling. She's having a good time. She's happy to be back in the home.
She's naked. She's naked.
Yep, topless pretty much. How's your world? How's it going? It's interesting. You know, trying to do a lot of this stuff, and you know, with work and everything else, it's. It's a lot, you know. Yeah. Works a full-time job, obviously, is 24/7 as we always do, right? But this is a passion of mine, and this is something I love to do. So,
this is Hoekstra Racing.
It is.
Friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers. I am here with
Brendan Hoekstra,
also a Navy CB, yep. Good buddy of mine from back in the day. My last battalion, we did Okinawa together. Which was like my first deployment and my last deployment was to Okinawa. You know, it's cool. Establishing a whole career with your first battalion or first deployment pre-9/11, pre-war. Right. And then, you know, seeing what it was like now, man. How many years you got in now?
18 years.
18 years. Hell yeah.
Builder.
How you digging that? You're like,
it's good.
Fuck yeah.
It's building.
It's the best job in the Navy.
Do, right?
All right. Great podcast. Time to roll. No, But the cool thing is you got that going on. You've been doing that for 18 years, yep. Navy CB, builder, and then you have this. And this is one of the reasons why I want to swing by. I want to talk about you got a race coming up yep. this weekend.
Yep.
We'll go into the whole military thing later. That's cool. God bless you, brother, for your service. But let's talk about this right now, and then we'll go back into and your career. So what's up? How did you get into racing?
Actually, I'm a third generation racer.
Oh, really?
My grandfather raced. My dad raced. I grew up at the racetrack from the time I was pretty much walk.
Yeah.
Spent time at the racetrack every Friday night. and then I raced as a kid.
Okay.
I raced from about 7 to 9 years old doing quarter midgets.
Oh, right on.
And then moved into high school, and I started racing some bigger cars. Low budget stuff, super low budget. But I had fun, right? Then I joined the Navy, and, well, now I have this.
Now you got this.
About 15 years later when I could afford to do it. And so this is still pretty low budget, but it's definitely a nice piece. So
I grew up by a racetrack, Fremont Raceway, you know, not too far from my house, like blocks. And that used to piss me off in the morning, like at night, you know, because when you're a kid, you got to go to bed before it's too dark. And you're just hearing this fucking midget race car. So, like, I think I hated race cars until I was at least, like, 20-something years old and then met people like you that are like, no, man, it's great. NASCAR's where it's at. So you're from Washington originally?
Washington State, yeah.
So what kind of like circuit do you guys have going on up there?
There's actually quite a bit. Okay. You know, this is a dirt circle track car. They do asphalt circle track. They do road courses. There's all kinds of racing up in the Pacific Northwest. So I grew up around asphalt circle tracks. That's what my dad did.
Yeah.
My grandfather actually raced down here in Ascot Park in California.
Oh, cool.
And so, yeah, the line, the heritage and all that goes way back. It's definitely in the blood for sure.
Hell yeah, man. Did you ever watch any of those figure eight tracks?
Of course. That's what my grandfather was famous for.
That stuff's insane. Have you raced in one?
I haven't, no.
But your grandpa did.
But yeah.
What kind of balls did that guy have?
I've got pictures of him with his arm hanging out the window.
As long as it's not his balls.
And, you know, a small little helmet that would nowhere near protect him if he needed it. But, yeah, I know he's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I just thought that was cool because I'd watch those Or I play those video games, like the freaking ones with the pickup trucks and all that other fun stuff. And then you go through the figure eight tracks. I'm like, is this real life?
People actually do that stuff. It's wild. I know they still do it a little bit at a couple tracks down here in California. I don't know off the top of my head, but
I'm down. Yeah, man. If you do you do anything in LA or like where's the next? What's Sunday, right?
So next Saturday.
Next Saturday, okay.
In Temecula, so Paris, California. It's Paris Auto Speedway, and that's where we'll be at. There's quite a few tracks around the area.
Right.
So there's one here in Ventura locally, and then, of course, Santa Maria, Bakersfield. There's actually two in Bakersfield, and then one down in San Diego, and that's where I've kind of stayed. So, hopefully wanting to get out to Bakersfield. So.
Yeah. Well, I think, would that be like a burger? Like, one side here is one track, right here is the other track, and the meat is meth? And that's Bakersfield. I'm just kidding. There's a lot of people. I love Bakersfield, man.
Bakersfield's a good track. So.
It's just fun to make fun of. That Bakersfield is California's Cleveland. There's like a lot of pride that comes out of that place, but it's so easy to just be like Bakersfield and everybody gets it. So this thing's stripped down, right?
For the most part.
And then so you're like, what goes into getting this thing up and running?
Well, for starters, maintenance, right? Yeah. I mean, if we show up and we have a bolt come loose for whatever reason and it makes us wreck, then that's a problem. So making sure that all the shocks work the way they're supposed to work, making sure that all the bolts are tight. Of course, oil changes. A lot of different, you see here, like different Heims on the suspension points, making sure that those are lubed and clean,
right?
Which we race on dirt. So that's a constant enemy that we face.
Yeah, that's, I'd imagine. Because that's like, you know, when you're in the desert and stuff like that, and you got your M16 or M4 or whatever your weapon is, and it's just like you're nonstop cleaning that motherfucker. So... And that was actually going to be a question of mine. Yep.
And we race in dirt, so it can either be really tacky clay, which is typically what we race in, right? And when it dries off, it gets a lot really dusty, so that's a constant issue for keeping the car cool through the radiator just dirt in general. So it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah, how much do you think it goes into it? Like, do you have to strip the whole thing down between every race and then, like, build it back up, kind of like this?
No, typically not. I mean, I'll pull the front suspension kind of, like, apart, just like you see now, and I'll, you know, clean everything and lube everything and make sure everything's moving freely to ensure that it's, you know, it's operational, right? It's mechanically sound.
I feel like the annoying neighbor kid. I'm like, what does this do? What does this do?
No, it's actually, that's part of my pride and what I like taking it is it catches a lot of eyes, especially people walking through a neighborhood. I have people comment on it. And it's cool, right? But the best part is being able to put it on the track and go play with it. So,
heck yeah, man. That's the thing. I was going through the Josh O'Brien is my homeboy, which is the Facebook group I use.
Yep.
And I seen Hoaxster Racing. I'm like, oh shit, I knew we talked about racing. Like, you're really into it, and you're getting into all that other stuff, and that's your thing. Back when we were in Okinawa,
right.
I didn't realize that you had, like, a whole team and, like, all that other stuff going. Well, yeah, you know what I'm saying. I know you're doing the whole for the people
it's
not.
Right. I mean, it's definitely a hobby sport.
Right.
Right. And it's something that we do. My goal for this year is obviously just to do something maybe once a month within budget constraints. So my wife is a big part of this.
Cool.
She supports 100%. My family back home supports it 100%.
Grandpa's still around?
No, he's not.
Okay, I was going to say, you know damn well, he's watching over you every race, though.
Absolutely.
He's like, stay off them figure eight, son.
but it takes just more than just me, right? I've done the one-man band stuff a little bit, and it's a struggle. It burned me out, you know, 2 seasons ago. So getting a lot of friends like Pete.
Yeah.
He's actually going to be going with me out to Paris on Saturday. And it's just something you can't really do alone, right? I mean, it's a hobby thing. So it's when guys are available. It's,
right, right. Oh, totally.
You know, family time, like, you know, and people have kids. They got family. They got soccer. They've got what else? All the other stuff going on, you know, BMX racing.
Yeah, yeah. The Pete's kiddos. Yeah, right. Man.
So it's you fit it in where you can. Unfortunately, to be successful at this, it takes a lot of work and a lot of maintenance.
Right.
And, you know, but I like coming out here. It's good for my soul. it kind of centers me and I can tinker on it and I enjoy doing it. So
I think it's very healthy for everybody to have that one something, whether it be like skateboarding, but we're a little bit old for that one, but like, or it be like a vehicle or, you know, for me, I'm a comic, but I'm also a writer, you know, and there's a lot of things I got to do to just like take my mind off of all the bullshit, you know, and it's just like As vets and people that's been through the military, there's like a lot of like anxiety and survivor's guilt and a lot of other stuff that we live through.
Sure.
So it's like sometimes it's just good to like not focus on that negativity. And do you think this is kind of like a therapeutic thing for
absolutely,
you then?
Absolutely, 100%.
So yeah, because this is like when you're wrenching on this, it's probably like sitting by a waterfall in a sense, because you're just like
I couldn't have put it better myself.
Right? Yeah, man. Because it's just like you got to get there, man.
For sure.
And that's where a lot of people don't realize. So like, where did you go to MEPS?
Through Portland, Oregon.
Portland. Are you from Oregon, or is
Washington,
it just
Washington State? So I live in. Well, I'm from Ridgefield, Vancouver, which is just north of Portland.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Fuck the Canucks. I'm just kidding. Just kidding about the hockey team. You guys are getting the Kraken. Kraken's coming into Seattle.
Josh, I'm not a hockey fan.
I know.
I race cars.
That's it. This guy. He's like, I'm good. I like the other oval sport. The other sport in an oval. It's race cars. And so that's cool. Got that coming up. For me, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Gulfport. What year did you go to A school?
2003. Yeah, there in like around January.
'03?
No, I'm sorry. No, I take it back. September 2002.
Okay. 02, so your boot camp, Great Lakes, Gulfport, and then you went to, what battalion did you go to first?
MCB 3.
3? Oh, so you were like, you were a retread, so you rented like 3 a couple times.
Yep.
Yeah, milder than most. I mean, better than best. No, like I did the whole gambit, the 5-4, 43, all that other fun stuff. I loved it, man. Did you think it was different the second time around, or?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think when you come into it a second time, you're coming back into it at a different capacity, different level.
Yeah.
And so it kind of, you know, it gives you another perspective, right?
So it was like your first deployment then, like?
My first deployment was to Okinawa.
Oh, awesome.
2003.
Cool, man. Hopefully you'll end up doing the same thing. You're like, my first was Okinawa, my last was Okinawa.
My last deployment with you was with Okinawa, with a battalion.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Where are you at now?
NMCB 22.
Okay, deuce. All right. Active? You're like the active component?
I am.
So is that pretty cool, like being on the active side?
It is. It's definitely a different perspective.
Yeah.
And kind of seeing, you know, the traditional CB battalions being in, you know, up here in Wyoming and then going to San Diego, spend some time with NSW, then coming back to, you know, the 22 with reserve and cell res guys. It's a different perspective for sure. And the way things operate are, you know, a little bit different in some other ways. Just different challenges.
Oh yeah, man. That's got to be cool too. Cause like three was your first command. And then you went to NSW or then?
No, I went to 31st SRG.
Okay.
At the time.
As an instructor. Gotcha.
As an instructor. Yep. Taught weapons and tactics there. Great tour. A lot of good people, both military and civilian. Yeah. Good guys.
Yeah. I highly recommend anybody, especially if you're a CB. To go into something that you can push back and hold on to the rest of your career. For me, my first, like, outside of the CB realm, inside the CB realm, I should say, was comms. And, like, comms carried me fucking forever. Right. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I was an E4, I was an SW3, teaching comms, I'm telling ensigns, lieutenants, and blah, 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 like, hey, this is where the skip zones are in Area 25 or Area 3 or wherever we are in Liggett.
Right.
And I always had top sergeant, Russ Hamilton.
Hey, O'Brien, how fucked are these guys, man? Are these, what? I mean, seriously, are these guys a bum fucks or what? These guys got it going on?
And I'd be like, well, Top, here's the thing. These guys are good to go over here, but they got a boot lieutenant or they got a fucking ET1 that knows everything.
Right. Oh, well, I'm fucked up.
But, like, for the rest of your career, I mean, you've lived it. You can carry that with you forever.
For sure. And it obviously, when I went back to 3 after that tour,
yeah,
it paid dividends for me, right?
Definitely.
And I was able to really help train the battalion. Got in with a couple other really good seconds and first classes and chiefs and stuff like that that had that similar experience. And we trained really well. It was a grind, for sure.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because we were trained the way, you know, I had the kind of liberty to be able to train the way I wanted to train. With the support of chain command. So it worked out really good. We were really successful with it, as much of a grind as it was. But it definitely paid back.
Dude, that's that when you get that kind of freedom, like, you know, within the fucking the doing the right thing.
Sure.
When somebody has somebody that trusts you, like I was in the 7 shop over at the FIB at ACB2 and he's a chief then, Billy Haynes, he was like, hey, SW1, just tell me what you're gonna do, and I tell him what I did wanted to do. And he'd be like, okay, we'll go with that. We'll make a little check here. Tell me what you think of this. and then fucking run with it. And it gives you that much more confidence. And that's a lot of things I think that lacks in some people is they're afraid to let go. You know what I mean? And they're just like, oh, no, you got to do it my way because back in the day it was my way.
Right.
And it's like, nah, come on, man. And that's cool. That carried with you a long way, man.
For sure. It also built my confidence just instructing and teaching, right?
Yeah.
So I was very kind of an introvert. And then it kind of forced me to kind of come out of my shell, and we went from there.
Yeah, man. Especially when you got to get behind that fucking podium, and then you're like, all right, now, when I was able to merge a military instructor with being a stand-up comic and figure out that there's not a whole lot of difference,
right?
Then I'm like, cool. You know what I mean? Because when you have that, and you have the fucking the training manual, you have all that other stuff, and you have that, your instructor guide, and you're confident in that material because, you know, this is the material. It's true and all that. And then I felt that after I wrote these jokes, I worked on these jokes and I know they work. Then I was like, okay, cool. It's the same fucking thing. I have the confidence to utilize this material and I know it works. So even if I don't feel like I'm doing good, I will be fine by the end of this, by the time this is over. Do you ever feel like, you get like a lot of the kiddos and folks in battalion that they'd rather talk to you than some of the instructors? At the end of the day, because...
Like where I'm at currently?
No, like when you were going through that stuff. Because, I mean, because it's like, oh, it's good to have somebody that's been through it as an instructor before. Sure. So, you know, it's like you don't feel bad asking a teacher. You're like, I don't want to feel retarded.
I think sometimes they've kind of fact-checked.
Yeah.
Right? Especially with, not necessarily my or your generation, but the new one, they want to fact-check, right? They want to make sure the information they're getting is legitimate, and they'll bounce that off. So, I mean... I had a lot of questions that came towards me as far as what we were doing. I think it also inspired a little bit of confidence in what they learned.
Yeah.
Just because I was teaching the same stuff as what they were learning, right? When we were doing our kind of our unit-driven training. But, yeah. And, as being an instructor, too, it's the key is to be able to relate to your students.
Yeah.
And to make it so they're not falling asleep at their fucking desk.
Oh, yeah. Kamikaze nosedives.
Yep. So if you can manage that with some of the dry material that we got, then I think you're doing all right.
Yeah, I always had fun like trying to make it energetic. Like comms is like the most dull, fucking boring thing. But if you can figure out ways to shock people, like not literally, but physically, like, look, hey man, you got this guy with the TA-1. He's got the fucking 312. Blah blah blah. You can just crank this and then shock them. And it's like, those don't even use that shit anymore. But that was like, things like that are just like, you know, hey, try to see if you can get somebody to hold this antenna, you know, something like that. Or
I've done that on accident. So
just like
the hell out of my neck.
Exactly.
Oops.
Make it fun, you know?
Especially when you're in the field and you're sweaty and you have that over radio and I had this right along here. I'm on my neck and I went to go key it up to go call, you know, talk to someone.
Oh man.
That woke me up.
It gives you a nice sunburn.
For sure.
See, the instructor, where'd you go after that?
Back to three.
And that's the time that I ran into you, or?
Yep.
Okay, cool, man. Where all'd you go? Those deployments.
The first one was to mainland Japan.
Okay.
In Yokosuka.
Yokosuka, 7th Fleet, good times.
Very good times, especially when the carriers pull in.
Oh, yeah.
We pretty much had to put our people on lockdown just because of all the stuff that went on, but it's craziness there. Good times.
Yeah, man. So where would you say was your favorite place you've been so far?
Unit-wise or deployment-wise?
Well, you, personally.
My favorite time and place was easily probably my NSW time.
Really?
For sure, yeah. Gotcha. I had a really good time. It rivaled...
That's Naval Special Warfare for you guys that don't know what NSW means.
Doing, a couple pumps with those guys, and I had a great time. Just got getting to work with those guys a little bit and building some, good relationships down there. It was good. A lot of awesome people down there. A lot of people that, I think is really, coming from our community, it's really kind of underrated what our junior enlisted do there.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And the level of responsibility that they hold. So it's impressive. I walked out of there with a whole nother mindset and way of doing things. I've always been a get stuff done type of guy.
Right.
But, yeah. No, it was good. I looked back on it fondly. And definitely my time with, teaching tactics was definitely rivals to my number two.
Bro, okay, good stuff, man. Yeah, like I always joke around with the like this is totally uncensored with respect to OPSEC. So like I understand if you can't identify some of the units you were with or some of the places you deployed to. I totally respect that. But it's like was there any place that you would like to would that be a place you'd like to go back to? Or you think one's good enough?
To be honest with you, if I was not retiring after this tour.
Okay.
I probably would be still in part of NSFW, just a different portion of it.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, like, what a lot of people don't realize is Stevie's like, I do this joke about how CBs are, you know, we are what we are. A lot of people don't know what we are, but everybody knows that, you know, SEALs are rock stars and we're the roadie. So anywhere the rock stars go, the roadie's got to go. You know, yep. We build, you know, build the stage, build the set and all that other fun stuff. And, you know, God bless people like Jocko. Everybody knows who he is. Yep. He's got this podcast and he throws some shout outs to bees every once in a while. And that's very appreciated. But that's the thing is like people don't realize that to get that shit going. I mean, a lot of times we're there with them.
For sure.
And that's basically what you do down there. And so you got...
Someone's got to move them. Someone's got to set them up and make sure that they can do what they need to do, right?
Yeah, man. And then, like, we've... I don't know how many times we built kill houses and all kinds of fun stuff, like, either over in Iraq or wherever. And I like the... I get it. And in a battalion, you have a lot of young people coming in. And then most of the people that go... people that go to those commands are tried and true, and they've had... You know, you do get some young guys that come in straight to there, but for the most part, people have to be screened to get there before they get there. So it's like a lot of big boy rules, you know. And
absolutely,
yeah. So like, yeah. So you got the you're with not specifically you, but they got all kinds of different commands for the team stuff down there that you can work with. Now you're back here. Now you're with the reserves, and I remember when I first came in. And then, you know, I was like, fuck these guys. You know, I really was, but I didn't, because all I seen was people just coming to Okinawa and getting hammered and then going home. Right. And they weren't taking anything serious whatsoever. And this is pre-9/11, sure. You know what I'm saying? So this is like, you know, Okinawa and Puerto Rico where people are just like, hey, fuck it, woo! They're getting drunk, hammered, going away. And so I had a bad feeling about reserves. Now, after Iraq... And we're deployed with, and it was like, was it 14 and 26. And those two battalions, I was like, oh my God, these guys bust their fucking ass, you know? And it's pretty cool that you get a lot of different perspectives. Like, what have you noticed most with working?
Just so in my past deployments, like my Iraq deployments and having, you know, reserve units attached, I mean, they bring a huge trade skill, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of guys do the same job, but on the outside. With where I'm at right now, from what I see, and part of my biggest piece of respect to these guys is they work 9 to 5s, right? They work or more, right? Some of them own businesses, and we're still grinding on Teams calls. We're still grinding on, you know, conference calls, trying to do and make the battalion run and keep it going. And these guys work full time jobs, and I a lot of respect to them. And there's no way I could do it. I'll tell you right now, there's no way.
Yeah.
Because my job's a full time job, and well, when I come home, I want to relax or tinker my race car.
Oh yeah, this is the race car. That's why we're here. And you're racing at what time?
Probably between 5 and 6 is usually when it starts. I think the tickets to get in for fans, I think they're selling them online. I don't think they're selling them directly at the location.
All right.
I think it's at the Paris Fairgrounds or in Temecula there. so yeah. But it's fun. It's what we're here to do, and this is how I blow off a little steam and kind of put my mind at ease.
Fuck yeah, sure. Man. This is a lot better than sitting in Iraq. Sometimes.
Well, sometimes my time in Iraq is what made this happen.
Yeah. It's like, hey, we're going to deploy one more time so I can get the motherfucking chassis. That's what it is. So how many times did you go to Iraq?
Twice in Iraq and probably another 2 or 3 times in various Middle Eastern
region. Yeah, man. That's it's kind of a trip. Do you ever miss it?
Of course.
It's weird because civilians don't get that. You know, or it's like...
It's another world when you're in that part of the country, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing you have to really worry about is what you do every day, sleeping, working out, and just doing your job.
I think a lot of it, too, is like, especially for me being a fat, retired guy, is like the whole, like, when people needed you, when people missed you, you know what I mean? And that's like when you're deployed, especially like in a battalion or any other unit that you go and you, on these deployments, and then you come back and it's just like... Am I important? Because over there, it's just like you're nonstop. It's like, hey, you know, and that, you know, did you ever feel that way while you was?
Obviously when you're gone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've got 4 kids. We're busy. We're gone. 2 are mine. 2 came with the wife. But still, right? I mean, and my girls have been through...
A mixed fire team's good.
Mixed fire team. My girls have been through about 4 or 5 deployments.
Yeah.
In their lifetime. And, you know, they're done with it. I don't have any more deployments to go, so which is great. And but, you know, I do miss being deployed, especially in those areas. It's just another style of life, and I think a lot of people can relate to that. And,
yeah.
There's things that you miss, and then sometimes when you get back to it, it's kind of like, fuck, I'm back here again.
What I felt like where you're at, you got 18 years, mm-hmm. like people like right around there, a little bit like 18, 17 to 20 time frame right before I retired, people were like, hey, are you going to miss it? And I was like, I already do, because like it's changed so much, you know, and it's for the better for the next generation, but not the better for the people that are there. And in a weird sense. And I'm not dissing it. I'm just saying that like everything kind of changes, and it's just like,
so you don't keep up the times, you're going to get left behind.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, stay current, stay relevant, sure. stay relevant to Absolutely. Stay current as they say. And it's just like, it just changes. And it's like, you know, hey, this, I just want to leave this place a better place for you guys. And, you know, and that's the kind of thing. And like right now, currently, I can't even fucking imagine the whole COVID, like all that other stuff. Like what kind of things and restrictions do you guys have to deal with now?
Well, I mean, for the last year, we've been under page 13. We just got released from it, or loosened up a little bit, I should say. But no, we were pretty much in-house, right? We're
right
under, you know, lockdown, doing our thing. We can leave to get essentials and to go to work. That's about it. And even at work, you know, we're limited personnel. We're doing much other shit. you know, obviously, with whatever thing we do and you know, the state and CDC guidelines for federal.
And state, we're in California, so it's very strict here. Right. If it was Florida, they'd be like, let's just go do cocaine.
Well,
just kidding. It's meth.
But even with that, though, right? I mean, being active duty, we...
Yeah.
You know, we're still under stricter guidelines than that, so...
Do you need some water?
Yeah, I do. I got one right here. Somewhere.
Okay.
It's on the radiator, keeping it cool.
Yeah. No, because, like, when that car joke, guys... No, like when this all started, I remember hitting up Pete. We're talking about Pete Boner, as we say lovingly, because his daughters have Girl Scout cookies, and he's got two kick-ass angels, mm-hmm. that and I say angels loosely, but he's got two kick-ass kiddos, and it's like crazy. Uncle Josh doesn't come and get his freaking Girl Scout cookies, then you know. And I'm a bad guy, and I don't want to be a bad guy, especially for kiddos. Aww. So, like, but I'm standing, like, here, and it's kind of like, well, he's like, yeah, I just had to, like, phone muster. And I'm like, holy shit. So that they had you guys phone muster, and, you know, he had to slide the cookies outside because he's like, you know, no contact, and I don't want to violate that. So it was kind of funny. It was like, I felt like we were doing a dope deal back in, or not even dope deal. I felt like it was bootlegging days. I felt like this was getting liquor. Back during Prohibition, you know, it's like, all right, I'll slide you the cookies, slide right. you the, you know, right. slide you the cash, you know. So, like, how long did you have to do the whole, like, do you still do that sometimes?
Yeah. I mean, for traveling out of the area, out of our bubble or whatever, usually it's like a 14-day wrong period, you know, with vaccinations and some of the stuff's changing.
Yeah.
It's evolving, adjusting. But typically it's, you know, when you're roaming or you're staying one place in your house for 14 days and you're not leaving, right?
Yeah.
So to make sure any symptoms and whatnot are passed, so before you return to work. So
do you have to do a lot of the ROM stuff because going from one place to another?
I haven't traveled really okay. much at all since I've been here, but I helped coordinate and do all that kind of stuff for our guys.
And my cousin Alex, he went from Yokosuka to a school in Virginia Beach to Mayport, Florida. So it's just like in each place. If for people that don't know, I mean, when ROM, I don't even remember what it stands for. Something.
You're putting me on the spot, Josh.
Okay. No, anyways, nobody remembers what it means. They just know what it is.
I do. I'm blanking right now.
ROM. It's something. I'm sure somebody will correct me and you and be like, you guys are so stupid. And it's the only thing they freaking know. So whatever. But no, so like, yeah, you got to like, you know, each place is 2 weeks. So you show up. You know, so you leave the Reagan or whatever boat he was on, and then he goes to Virginia Beach, waits 2 weeks to go to a 7-day school, then goes down to freaking mm-hmm. Jacksonville or Mayport, well, for Mayport, Florida, but waits 2 weeks before to check in the command. Because in every place you go, you got to wait that 2-week period yep. because of the whole the ROM thing? Did they vaccinate guys or not yet? Or
some are getting vaccinated. It's slowly kind of working into what we got going on. So it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, like some people are like, what? I'm like, dude, fuck, I got like, I don't know how much anthrax I'm carrying around, and I'm not talking about the band.
Right.
You know, it's just like, so.
Yep. No, it's interesting. It's definitely been a challenge for us to keep doing what we need to be doing and training and doing our jobs, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of teleworking, changing the schedules and whatnot, but we're making through. We adjust and we adapt and overcome.
So do you, how often do you got to go down to San Diego? Because people don't know, we're up in Point Magoo, Port Hueneme, or south of Port Hueneme, or east, I don't know, fucking geographically. Anyways, on the map, we go there. So like southeast of Port Hueneme, east, south, depending on which part of the map you want to look at. And it's, you know, and that's like, what, 2 hours? So like...
San Diego?
Well, from here, it's like more like four.
At least. Yeah, I think the quickest is like 3 hours. Anytime with traffic, you're looking at maybe 4 or 5.
I'm saying two from my house, and that's a good trip.
Your house, right?
And that's a good trip.
Yeah, I've been able to make it in 3 hours, but that's been like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. That's the only time you'll be able to make it.
Yeah, for sure.
Before the school buses start running.
I haven't really been down there, obviously, at all. We've been, you know, limited here. I haven't really had any reason to really go down to San Diego because my work's here now. So family's here. My kids are here. Like, so.
Okay, so 22's here? For some reason, I thought 22 down.
Well, they're from Texas.
Oh, okay, cool. So it's and that's the thing too. Like the fucking
that area.
Reserves are spread like all over the place. Fuck yeah, man. What you got coming up? This. How many races? Is it like a tournament?
No, I mean just every track has their schedule. Right?
Yeah.
They're typically between depending on the track, 10 and 18 races in a season. I think still stuff's going to be limited. Still, the schedules have been adjusting through the last couple months. We're trying to hit about one once a month, probably up until about September, October-ish.
Fuck yeah, man.
Have a good time. Looking forward to it.
So this weekend, Paris.
Yep. Be a good time. Big half-mile track. It's fast. You just say it's pretty heavy, or it's sticky. So a lot of good traction. So the old Ford motor does pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know the first thing about cars. I'm so I just had to have my alternator, water pump, and coil redone on it. Thank God, I got a buddy of mine. He was stranded on his boat on Catalina Island. I brought him apart, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I'll fix your car." And he did. It's like, holy shit, man.
Yeah.
It's cost me like $300, and it would probably cost me about like $3,000.
Yeah, quite a bit more.
You know, because you got to take the tire off to get the alternator in that damn thing.
It's crazy. Yeah, Josh, that's it, bro.
Do you got any like so Hoekstra Racing? We know that's a Facebook page, but you got anything else? Like, do you got an Instagram? Anything else like that coming up?
I do have one on Instagram. It's more of a personal one.
Okay,
but it's still I put a lot of the racing stuff on there.
Sweet.
That's pretty much about it. I keep it pretty simple. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. You're on active duty, so I'm not going to go prying too far into a lot of other things we'll talk about after you retire in 2 years.
Yep.
So, like, that's cool, man. So this is it. When do you plan on retiring? Or when is your 20-year mark, I should say?
20-year mark would be July of 22.
July 22. Mm-hmm. So roughly count three, four months before that. We'll be at your ceremony if you're doing one, which will be pretty cool. So anything else you want to plug, put out there, anything like that?
No, just a big shout out to my friends, family, everybody, Pete, John, Chris Dart, all those guys that helped me get this thing on the track, and the wife, of course.
Of course.
She's my crew chief, so, and she keeps me in line.
Yeah, and Pete's kids for the Girl Scout cookies.
For real. I try and stay away from those.
Dude.
I got to be able to fit in my seat.
That's true. You don't want to be like me. Like, I was so fat one time, I got thrown off of Batman at Six Flags. And then Kevin Smith does a thing called Fat Man on Batman. I should have done a thing called Fat Man off of Batman. So, all right. Fuck yeah. All right. Keep your chin up. Never let the bastards get you down. Fuck the bozos and never, ever, ever forget. Obi loves you. For all those I followed, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I've led, thanks for making me a better person. I'm out. We're out. Say out.
You're out.
We're out.
We're the Seamies of the Navy. We can build and we can fight. Life is always history. going to plan.